80%. That's how much our total traffic from social media has dropped in the last 2 years. And we're not alone. Marketers everywhere are experiencing a sharp decline in both traffic and organic reach on social media. At the root of all this decline? Social media algorithms. A consumer's best friend, but a marketer's adversary. Luckily, Michael Stelzner, CEO and founder of Social Media Examiner, has been navigating social media algorithms for more than 8 years and knows exactly how to overcome them.
The moral of the story is there were the good old days, and the good old days are over, and they're never coming back, and we need to accept that.
I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, a simple way to manage your social media with powerful scheduling and analytics. Here's my chat with Michael. Hey everyone, we are so excited. We have Michael Stelzner, the CEO and founder of Social Media Examiner, on the show with us today. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I got to say, I'm really looking forward, before we get the show started, I'm really looking forward to joining you all down for Social Media Marketing World in March. How's that coming along?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And you're going to be on a panel with Eric Fisher on our social team talking about Twitter. So yeah, we are super excited.
Well, cool. Yeah. And I'll link to the Social Media Marketing World conference in the show notes so that way everybody can check it out. But yeah, if you haven't heard or seen or been there before, it's an amazing thing. So thanks for putting that on, Mike.
Oh, my pleasure.
So today we're talking all about social media algorithms. And I got to say, I'm pretty excited because I have no idea even what to expect every time I post to social media, specifically Facebook and Twitter, because I think those are the ones that really kind of give us the most trouble, or I wouldn't say trouble, but the ones that
I would say trouble.
Yeah. So I'm excited to learn from you today. And I know you have a lot of great insights. You know, you talk with a lot of businesses, you hear from a lot of marketers. So why don't we start from like kind of a big overview picture of social media algorithms? Could you give us a little insights as to like maybe why they exist in the first place?
Yes. To give you a little historical context, there was a day, especially if anybody's been on Facebook for a while, when there wasn't enormous amounts of people on Facebook, and every post that you posted on your personal profile and on your Facebook page was seen. And there was even a day when it was like that on Twitter. And you have to have been around for a long time to experience that. But, you know, fast forward to 2017, where you have, you know, almost 2 billion people on Facebook and hundreds upon hundreds of millions on Twitter and the other social networks, there becomes this kind of limited amount of cars on the highway, if you will. There's only so much that you can, as a human, experience before it becomes crazy. And you probably remember this, Brian, where like who even looks at their main Twitter feed anymore, right? Because it's like a river, right? So this is why algorithms were introduced, to bring us back to the social network, to create an experience from a consumer's perspective that's enjoyable, and basically to ultimately customize, if you will, the experience to the user so that they see the kinds of things that they're interested in automagically. And it's also used to get rid of spam. So there's a lot of garbage, you know, out there on Twitter and Facebook, where people are just constantly promoting themselves. Nobody wants that. And it's designed to lift up the higher quality content. And the other thing is that there is also limited advertising space. This is interesting. I don't know if you know this, Brian, but the Facebook CFO said last winter that in March of 2017, in their earnings call, they will have no more ad inventory. They will run out.
Wow.
So think about that for a second. If they don't even have enough inventory to run ads, what makes you think they're going to show all of your updates, right? Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story is that there is lots of reasons why these algorithms exist, and marketers get frustrated, but consumers generally rejoice.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's talk about that difference between the marketer viewpoint, the brand viewpoint, and then also the consumer viewpoint. You and I being on both sides, we can kind of understand maybe why the algorithms exist as a consumer, but as a brand, as a marketer, we're like, well, all of our content's great. You know, why can't it be like the good old days? So,
well, let's be honest, it's not all great, right?
Right.
And I think I know where you're going with this. What kind of an impact is it having on businesses? Is that what you were about to ask?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So it's having a big impact. I mean, first and foremost, if you're not looking at your insights or you're not using some sort of tracking like Google UTM parameters in your updates, you won't be aware of the fact that you have been going down, 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 and down.
Right, right.
Probably for years, right? I mean, I don't know anybody. Well, let me rephrase. I know very few people that are actually increasing. Most people are not even staying the same. Generally speaking, they're getting less newsfeed visibility. They're getting less clicks on their organic posts. They're getting less engagement. They're getting less everything. So that's the challenge. You're not going to get the reach, and you need to accept the fact that that's a reality. Mm-hmm. You're not, and as a result, you're not going to get as much visibility either. And you're going to not get as many people being aware of the content that you're producing. Now, this all assumes, you know what I mean, that we're talking the old-fashioned way of organic.
Right.
And I know that's what we're talking about right now, but that's the reality, is it is impacting social marketers in a pretty significant way.
Yeah, definitely. And I've had a few chats with Eric Fisher, your guy over at Social Media Examiner, and it's just astounding to us the amount of traffic we've been losing steadily over the last year, especially, and especially in the last few months on Twitter and Facebook. So I really like what you said there, and you have to almost shift your mindset about the way you approach social media, correct?
Totally. Yeah, and we can get into that a little bit later, but I think that you know, I've been doing this since 2009. It makes me feel old, you know, because in social years, that's like decades, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the moral of the story is there were the good old days, and the good old days are over, and they're never coming back, and we need to accept that.
Right, right. Absolutely. Now, I'm wondering, in your opinion, Michael or Mike, are algorithms good for social media? I mean, the good old days allowed brands and marketers to kind of reach their audience. And if someone liked a page on Facebook, you're essentially saying, show me their content. But with algorithms now, even Facebook and Twitter like have the control over that. So do you think that's a good thing for social media, or?
Well, here's what I think. First of all, it's obviously good for consumers. But it's not so good for marketers unless the marketers understand the algorithms. And we're going to talk about that. If you understand what the algorithms are rewarding and you do what the algorithms want, then it's good. I used to be really angry in the beginning when you know, in the early days when the algorithm was introduced, I was inflamed. I said, look, it is the marketers that made Facebook and Twitter successful. Let's be honest, right? They were putting their logos in commercials on their physical products everywhere. And it was frustrating beyond belief that, you know, it was us that made Facebook and Twitter successful because we evangelized it for free forever. And how dare you, Facebook, charge us to reach the very audience that we've been, you know, spending years to produce. That was my stance.
Right.
That was my stance. But now that has changed. Because honestly, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, and nothing lasts forever. And, you know, I think it's time to just rethink. And I think if we understand how these algorithms work, that's the key really to understanding how to maybe rethink your marketing.
Yeah, I love that. Such a great viewpoint. So let's talk about social media algorithms. Maybe we could break this up into a Facebook and Twitter chat. So maybe let's start with, what are some basic principles of the Facebook algorithm? And then we can get into Twitter, but let's start with Facebook. Yeah, what are some basic principles there?
Yeah, so let me just kind of give you a high level on kind of how they work. First, a principle, high quality content can be seen at any time. So this is important. High quality content can be seen at any time. So the old mentality of scheduling when people are there is actually thrown out the window, because the whole idea of algorithms is it's not in a linear order. It's custom. So because it's custom, the idea of trying to be there when people are there kind of goes out the window. These are like radical rethinking strategies. So here's how they work. This is the fundamentals of how they work. A piece of content is published, right? And then the algorithm is like a computer, and it's scanning the substance of what you publish. And it's also selectively showing that to a sample audience. Okay, so you publish a tweet about marketing, and what it's going to do is it's going to assess that that's what that tweet is about, and then it's going to selectively take a sample from your fans, and it's going to show it to them, and then it's going to see how they react to it. So if the audience reacts to it right away, then that algorithm will show more of it. Does that make sense? So
yeah,
the reactions could be a like, it could be a comment, it could be a share, a retweet, you know, any of those kinds of things. And so that's the setup. You have any questions on that before we get into Facebook and Twitter and the distinct differences between the two?
Yeah, I was going to say there's so much to unpack there. So specifically talking about not having to be there all the time, what have you done in the Social Media Examiner to play to that? Are you posting at off times or posting less frequency or frequently?
We post once. We post once and we're done.
Once and done. Okay.
So for example, we will never repost ever anything on Twitter. We'll only publish it once ever.
Okay.
We'll never repost anything on LinkedIn. We selectively repost on Facebook.
Okay.
So we have gotten rid of the, you know, the evergreen content that we typically done. We've just completely eliminated it. We can get into that a little bit later, but you know, that's radical.
Yeah.
And it's
absolutely
the decision that we made because we just determined that it wasn't working for us.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, that's a great takeaway for sure. Yeah. So let's get into the Facebook versus Twitter algorithm.
Okay. So first thing is that the good news is Facebook does publish a lot of stuff, and they don't publish a lot of stuff, but they're the only social network that does actually say this is what our algorithm is looking for. For example, just yesterday, as of this recording, they announced that they are actually going to give preference to longer videos. Now, that's interesting, right? Because
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
When they announce stuff, it's kind of a signal to all the publishers and marketers out there that if you want to get exposure, you're going to do what we recommend.
Right, exactly.
Right? And, you know, we could speculate as to why, but right now that's what they're claiming. And I think it's because they want people to stay around on Facebook longer.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, live video has got a huge preference right now in the Facebook newsfeed. So if you go live, there's a much higher likelihood that your content will be seen than if you don't go live. Another something not to do, Facebook has explicitly stated, do not ask for a share. You will be punished. So if you post some text into your thing that says, please share this with a friend if you like it, you will actually be punished, not helped by doing that. So you have to be super careful about putting words that could trigger a negative algorithm response.
Wow.
So that's Facebook. We can
talk
about
Twitter. They did it a bit with spam words too, like free, and didn't they implement that change in the algorithm as well? Like clickbait titles and clickbait words and those sorts
of
things?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like there's definitely a huge problem with like, you're not going to believe what they did after they discovered this, you know, all that kind of garbage. That stuff you're seeing a lot less of these days.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitter's a little different. Twitter is kind of a case of it's evolving rapidly, where the Facebook algorithm is highly refined. It's been around for years, and the Twitter algorithm is frankly about a year, maybe even less. So here's the deal with the Twitter algorithm. They just announced this week, as of this recording, that tweets from people you actively follow or engage with will be lifted to the top. So I don't know if you saw us talk about this on our live show today, but let's say that the algorithm knows, Brian, that you happen to engage a lot with Eric Fisher and you like Eric Fisher. It will actually show you next time you log into Twitter, the tweets from Eric Fisher that it wants to show you that you've recently missed. And it actually groups them all together and like right at the top of the Twitter feed.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that is very cool. And also I can see that kind of bumping some other people down lower on the Twitter feed as well.
Exactly. That's why I'm telling everybody stop with the like multiple stuff, because it's going to muck up your algorithm responses, right?
Right.
Because Twitter is watching to see, you know, remember, Twitter is showing your content no longer on a timeline. It's completely separate from the timeline. It's completely algorithmically determined. And as a result of that, someone could see your tweet from a day ago, you know, or even multiple days ago. So this is something brand new. Also, if you share, you know, like I just want to reiterate, if you put something into a queue and you share it a lot, here's what I don't know, and you guys probably have better data than I do on this. If you share something once a week, I don't think it's, you know, you could probably take your evergreen content, share it once a week, but I would not be surprised if Twitter's smart enough to know, because they have acquired artificial intelligence company just like Facebook has, smart enough to look at the actual text and say, okay, that text is exactly the same as something they tweeted before, therefore we're not going to show it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any insight on that at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we actually do. We've seen evergreen posts not go as far as they used to. And I think part of that's the algorithm change. And then I think you're right. They're starting to realize that a lot of people may just be resharing the same things that they have over and over again. What we have noticed is that if you change the image and you change the tweet text, that there seems to help a bit with the overall reach and organic, I guess, engagement with that tweet.
I think you just hit on something, but I also think that those days could be numbered as well, because Twitter's smart enough to look at the destination URL, right? So if you come up with, let's say, 10 tweets for a blog post, but they all point to the exact same destination URL, I can assure you eventually they're going to realize that you're just gaming the system. Mm-hmm. Because it may be that the link is what they're going to look at and not the copy. So these are just kind of the challenges that we face as marketers. So, you know, I think we have another year or two to try the evergreen stuff before it might be just gone forever.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we've been talking a lot on this podcast about social media being a content destination rather than a means to an end. And I think you all do a great job of this. It's almost like if you're on Twitter, Twitter wants you to be there as well. They don't want you necessarily off-site, kind of like Facebook has been moving towards as well. So
correct.
Like creating content that sits within the Twitter feed and is like meant to be on Twitter, I think will win as we start seeing these algorithms change as well.
And let's be honest, with Twitter, it's no different than with Facebook. You know, they've got Periscope, which eventually will probably be called Twitter Live, and they'll get rid of the Periscope.
Right.
But, you know, they want that live video stuff to be seen as well, mm-hmm. because that's going to keep you on the network.
Yeah, before, you know, that's I would love to dive into that really quick with you before we move on maybe to the next subject, but how has live been working for you? Have you noticed an increase in maybe the surrounding posts around live? Has it overall helped your Facebook page, or do you have any data on that?
Yes. We know that the more that we go live, the more our non-live content gets exposure.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Now, I think there could be a couple explanations for it. Number one is that maybe our brand is in front more of our fans, and they might actually go back to our page and look at what's there, mm-hmm. right? Because there's always that, right? Like if you see social media example, whether you go live or not, I mean, whether you watch my live stream or not, if you see Social Media Examiner, because we go live, like this week we've gone live three times this week. Even if you're not watching it, you probably saw the fact that we went live. And that might spur you to say, well, I haven't looked at their content in a while. I'm going to go over to their page and have a look-see, you know, or I'm going to click on their logo. So I don't know exactly how the ripple effect works. I don't know if they're rewarding us for going live and therefore showing our other content. But we have seen a correlation. We don't know what the cause is, but we've seen a correlation.
That's amazing. And I think one thing that we've been witnessing with live is and hearing from marketers is you just don't get as many people watching live as you would think, right? But then you get all those repeat viewers. And I actually saw you do a great little trick that I'm totally going to take from you. And that's thanking the people for rewatching before anybody joins the actual live session. Because let's face it, a lot of people aren't watching the live session as it happens, they're actually repeat watchers.
So let me tell you what I did, because I'll explain it. Okay. So as soon as I went live, I said, welcome to the replay, because I knew it was going to take a couple seconds for some people to show up. You must have caught the replay from the live Q&A.
Uh-huh, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, wow, how did he do that? Well, I learned that from my friend Joel Kahn, you know what
nice,
I mean?
So. Nice. I love it, Michael. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, I'm totally doing that on the next live session. So so while we're talking about some things that brands and publishers and marketers can do to, I guess the words overcome these social media algorithms, because like we talked about or joked about at the beginning, it can be a little troublesome for organic reach and marketing efforts. So I guess what are you and some of the top brands you're seeing out there, what are some, I guess, tactics and strategies you're using to overcome these social media algorithms?
Well, that's a great question. So here's the deal. We at Social Media Examiner have a core objective, which is to drive traffic to our blog and to capture a significant portion of that traffic on our email list so that we can get into a pattern of feeding them every day so that we can become independent of, you know, the social networks, right? I mean, it's crazy to say that we're Social Media Examiner.
Yeah, so catch 22.
So, but you know, focusing on email growth is important. Another thing we're doing, obviously, is we're cutting back the frequency of our content, specifically on the evergreen. We've talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. So we've rethought our entire posting strategy. Another thing is, and this is a big one, which I think you'll appreciate, is we're going back to basics. We are refocusing on community development, which is a phrase you haven't heard in a long time with marketers. Mm-hmm. we are really all about actively doing things with our community to provide value to them, like our live show, right? Our live show is a total community development activity because we are interacting with the community live. We're providing value to them, but we do all sorts of other stuff as well. We also have to accept the fact that the numbers are going down. And this is critical. You have to be okay with the fact that you're just never going to get the kind of numbers that you used to get. And what I mean by that is the reach, the comments, the shares, and the traffic. Search optimization is becoming more important. You know, that's still something that's powerful. And we're also, you know, when getting back to the email, where conversion rate optimization is becoming essential. So we've been working with a conversion rate optimization expert, trying to figure out creative ways to split test, you know, our opt-in forms to try to grow our email list, because that's where we see the future.
Excellent. So what, just a quick recap of all that great insight. So it was you're focusing on community building, and that a lot of that takes place on social media itself. And then also you're working to then build your search engine algorithm or a search engine optimization through blog posts and content, and then also optimize your email list so that you can operate independently off social media, right?
Yes, because let's be honest, Facebook is like the Hotel California. You can come anytime you want, but you can never leave.
I love that.
And they don't want you to leave, so you got to accept that, marketers. You know, they don't want you sending their people away.
Right, absolutely. So do you think that community building and that sort of focus on social media, is that in an effort to increase organic reach and try to beat the algorithm?
It's more just good old-fashioned marketing, because let's be honest, how many customers do you really need to be successful?
Right.
At Social Media Examiner, it's about 6,000 a year out of millions. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many millions, 10, 12 million people, you know, we had come to our site last year. No, 15 million people last year. You know, we only need about 6,000 of them to be customers. So, you know, when you think about the role of marketing, and it's really now about selling, if you can develop really solid relationships with people where they love you, they become the algorithm buster also, right? Because when people love your stuff, they become influencers for you. They become evangelists for you. If they don't become a customer, they let other people that are thinking of looking for that solution that you ought to consider buffer, right? So the idea of community development is kind of going back to basics. It's really all about nurturing relationships with people. And when they know, like, and trust you, because of that one-on-one kind of nurturing, you know, that's going to be the key to growth.
Definitely. And I think that's two of the biggest strengths for both Facebook and Twitter. And those are the best platforms to talk to people and build relationships. And I know you all over at Social Media Examiner are so good at that. I mean, I remember back in 2013 or 14, I tweeted at Social Media Examiner and I got a response from Eric Fisher within 5 minutes. And it's amazing the feeling that gives your audience and your customers.
It is. And it's how it was in the early days, you know, in the early days before the marketers kind of took over the whole thing, you know, that's what it was. It was community development stuff. It was just good old fashioned conversation. Absolutely. And that's the key, I think, to growth.
Absolutely. So speaking of growth, what role does advertising play on social media and algorithms these days? I know there's a lot of focus from a lot of different marketers and influencers saying that Facebook advertising is really the future of Facebook and a way to really reach customers that you haven't before or couldn't now. So what's your take on social media advertising these days?
Well, if you're not like a big blog like Buffer or Social Media Examiner, then you gotta think about advertising. Mm-hmm. For us, it doesn't play any role in our content strategy at all. We do not advertise our content, but I know that there's a lot of smaller sites that produce content, and whether that be video or written word, you gotta have a paid strategy. You got to, because you're just not gonna get the exposure. And Facebook does give you an avenue to get to your customers or prospects. And for us, it's just not economical. I mean, because, like, for example, we have such a, you know, about 1.3 million this month coming to the site. So for us to drive another 100,000 people would cost so much money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not worth it. But for someone who's got a much smaller site where they're getting a couple thousand, and if they invested maybe $100 a month, they could get a couple thousand more. It would be totally worth it for them, right? So I think that experimenting with paid advertising is absolutely essential. Facebook has some of the most sophisticated advertising out there on the planet. They're constantly evolving it. I mean, it's crazy the rate of evolution. We've got a lot of people at Social Media Marketing World that are actually going to be teaching this because it's just so dang diverse. So I believe we're getting to a day, to answer your question, Brian, where social advertising is going to be essential for almost all marketers.
Definitely. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing those insights. Let's pretend for a second, Mike, that you are a small business and you get a couple thousand visits per month to your blog, but nothing extraordinary. What would be your first step on social media to getting your content seen and also starting to build a community? Like, what do you think is the most important thing in the algorithm days that we live in now to getting your content seen and building a community?
First and foremost, have an email acquisition strategy, right?
Okay,
Figure out how to have those forms, right? Like we use Opt-in Monster and there's many others, Lead Pages, but have a way to capture someone who comes to your site and wants to not miss your future content. And they'll sign up over email because they know the algorithms exist and they want to be sure that they get your stuff. Mm-hmm. Start there. Second thing you should do is on your content itself, you should put social share buttons. You know, you guys have one. I think you still have it, don't you?
Yep.
I forget what it's called, but you know, there's many out there, and those social share buttons, when someone does read your content, sometimes they want to look good and share it to their friends. And remember, when someone shares your content, it's the algorithm buster. You know, Facebook has actually said that what it cares about is your and I didn't mention this part earlier, but what it cares about is when you publish something, if your fans share it and their friends interact with it, that's the way that it expands. So if some random person who's anonymous comes to your site and they share your blog post, and that gets shared by their friends and stuff, that could be huge for you.
Yeah.
So start with actually what you own and what you have control over. Then, after you've got a decent size email list, maybe 500 or 1,000, let them know we have a Facebook page or we have a Twitter account, and give them a reason to want to become a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let them know you're going to publish unique stuff there that they're not going to find on the blog. Just so that you can begin to program your audience that there's something special there. Another great thing you could do is you could start using live video. You know, remember we mentioned live video is cutting through right now the algorithm. So I would strongly consider going onto your Facebook page and immediately sharing it to your personal profile and asking everyone. And I still do this, by the way, with live video. I ask when I'm live because I don't think the algorithms are listening to me yet. You know,
yeah.
I ask when I'm live, please share this at the beginning and the end. So those are all the things that I would do right out of the gate.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Because I know you started as a small blog at one time and you've grown to...
We all start from nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So Michael, thank you so much for all the insights today. We love to end our show with three key takeaways for marketers and brands to really help with their social media strategy. So what are your three key takeaways for marketers and brands looking to get their content seen on social media with these algorithms in place?
Number one, rethink. That's the key word, rethink your posting strategy. Less is actually more. Number two, live video is currently the flavor of the day with algorithms, so do it. Figure out, how do you do it? We actually have like 13 sessions on live video at Social Media Marketing World 2017. So, you know, if you're not, and we've got some preliminary research that shows that marketers are all in on live video, so it's time to do it. Do not delay. So rethink live video, and the last one is to refocus. Refocus on the reason why you have a social community, which is because there's a community there. So refocus on community development. Stop worrying about the numbers. Stop worrying about the traffic. Start worrying about the fact that you want to cultivate the right people to build a strong affinity and relationship with your business so that they become evangelists for your business and ultimately customers.
To the point. I love it. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Science of Social Media with our guest, Michael Stelzner. And a huge thanks to Mike for giving us the lowdown on social media algorithms. You can stop by and say hello to Mike on Twitter at @Mike_Stelzner. Haley and I are both always happy to hear from you on social media too. It seriously makes our day. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter using the #BufferPodcast, or you can reach out to me, Brian, directly at Brian_G_Peters. Give us a shout anytime. I'd also love to mention that your ratings and reviews are super helpful in the growth of our show. If you've enjoyed our podcast today, we'd really appreciate it if you'd be up for leaving us a quick rating and review on iTunes. And if you'd like to hear more episodes just like this about the very best in social media marketing, you can find The Science of Social Media on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or anywhere else you like to get your podcasts. Detailed show notes for this episode and more can be found at buffer.com/podcast. And until next time, go show those algorithms who's boss.